Good afternoon, Bloomington. 606 News Talk, 96.1 AM 1370, and anywhere in the world with the internet at WGCLradio.com, the In the Zone radio program coming to you on the final Wednesday of April. April 29, 2015. I'm Mike Glascott. Thank you for being with us. Dave will be in shortly as he had some things to attend to this afternoon, so we'll get you started off and running here. Again, as we wrap up our week with you, we're with you every Monday and Wednesday night. We'll always take your phone calls, 812-333-2665. Plenty to do today as we get towards a busy, busy weekend. Number one, the NFL draft is tomorrow in Chicago and extends throughout the weekend. What is it, round one on Thursday, rounds two and three on Friday, then four, five, six, and seven on Saturday. The NFL marketing machine finds a way to get those TV eyes and everything else. Heck, you remember when the draft was 2 days long, but now it's a made-for-TV round number one, and we will see that tomorrow night. The Colts, I believe, pick 29th or somewhere down in there. We'll take a look at that a little bit later when Dave gets in here to see what needs they need to address, how they need to bounce around. Are they going to bounce around? Ryan Grigson in the past has shaken it up a little bit on draft day, so we'll take you through a little bit of his history, the Colts general manager there. So the Colts, again, have some issues moving forward, as all teams do. And for the most part, it's on the defensive side of the ball and perhaps offensive line. So it'll be interesting to see what pieces, if any, they put together and move, or what their draft board is going to look like and who the focus will be with their pick. So we'll take you through all of that coming up a little bit later in the program. There's news out of Indiana University. Well, there was, but there wasn't, but there kind of is, but not really, that there are rumblings that Indiana and Kentucky were having some discussions going on whether they were going to resume their basketball series. Well, we'll get into all that. It doesn't look like that's going to be the case, but IU basketball always making some noise and some rumblings, and that's just how it is around here. And we'll see what those are. Obviously, with Indiana still oversigned by one player, that means something has to give between now and the start of the semester in the fall, so there's plenty of time to get that figured out. IU still down an assistant coach as well. No Reds for you on the radio tonight. They played this afternoon in Cincinnati day game. They fell to the Brewers 8-3, and they threw a fresh new face out there, and were beaten as at that 12:35 start today. That's why we don't have any Reds baseball for you. The home run ball, seven of them today. Ryan Braun hit two of them, including a grand slam as the Brewers and Matt Garza win 8-3. Brewers had 12 hits, Reds just seven. Reds offense has been quiet. They've been winning some ball games, and they've been beating up on Milwaukee. That's been the key. Todd Frazier, Tucker Barnhart, and Jay Bruce all homered for the Kings of the Ohio, but I just told you they had three home runs, right? Well, they only scored three runs, so you can do the math on all of that. Michael Lorenzen was called up from AAA to make his debut, and didn't pitch terribly, but didn't pitch terribly well either. Eight hits, three earned runs, three home runs, struck out five, only walked one, so not bad. But again, the bullpen didn't. Jumbo Diaz giving up five runs in the eighth to break a 3-2 game wide open. So the Reds return to the radio tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday as they head down to Atlanta to take on the Braves. We'll have pregame for you tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, right after Your Money with David Hayes. Also making news, Mayweather-Pacquiao, the big fight that everybody's been anticipating for the last, oh, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, is finally going to get together in Las Vegas coming up on Saturday night. And Saturday is a very, very busy day. Number one, you've got the Kentucky Derby going Saturday at, what, 6:29 or whatever magical time that is. Again, right around 6:30. The 141st running of the Run for the Roses. And Smitty's got his Derby picks up here. We'll get those to you probably with Joe on Friday morning, so stay tuned for that. He's got everybody raring to go as the draw came out. If you are into the horse racing and that's your thing and didn't have a chance to get it, 20 horses will line up. The favorite is American Pharoah, ridden by Victor Espinosa, trained by Bob Baffert, the California horse. Starting in post 18, he is the 5-2 morning line favorite, according to Mike Battaglia. He will be followed out by the horse in eighth, post position. Well, not followed out, but followed out on the tote board. Dortmund, Martin Garcia atop the other Bob Baffert California horse, 3-1. And then the only other horse with odds less than double figures will start out of the two-hole. It's Carpe Diem with John Velasquez aboard. Todd Pletcher is the man in charge of getting him together. So Pletcher has 1, 2, 3, 4. Baffert has 1, 2. You've got some other doubles in there. No, those are just the two that have the multiple entries in that. So it's kind of like when IndyCar and CART all broke apart and they said, hey, some guy's got too much money. We want to give everybody a shot. Well, just about every year, Pletcher has 3 horses in the race, right? No, he has 4 horses in the race. Dwayne Lucas is in. He's got a 50-1 shot. So some of the older timers, guys that have been doing it a long, long time, have the ammunition as the Derby will run again Saturday afternoon. Pacquiao or Mayweather right around midnight Eastern time. And in between that is the World Golf Championships, which have started today at the lovely TPC Harding Park in one of the best cities in the world, San Francisco. And upsets are aplenty already, but the good news is with the new format of pool play, nobody goes home yet. The most interesting match of the day that I have seen was Ben Martin and Matt Kuchar. Kuchar's record in this event is ridiculous. It's like 18-4 or something, just off the charts. And Ben Martin, in a match that was all square on the 17th tee, 242-yard par 3 17th, 4-hybrid swish. Yes, uno, one, hole in one, wins the hole, goes on to win the match. I guess if you're going to get beat, you get beat by a hole in one from 243 yards. Kuchar said afterwards, hitting the green there is impressive, let alone holding the putt. So plenty to do for you here. We'll start with IU in Kentucky. Our good friend Zach Osterman's got a story in today's Indy Star. The Cold War between Indiana and Kentucky remains frigid after that rumors swirling around this morning. The longtime series between the Blue Blood basketball rivals hasn't been renewed since the end of the 2011-12 season, when differences in scheduling philosophy caused sides to go their separate ways. A report in the IBJ, the Indianapolis Business Journal, Wednesday suggested the sides have spoken about reigniting the rivalry, citing Kentucky Deputy Athletic Director Dwayne Peavy as saying the basketball staffs have had a general discussion about playing. IU Athletic Director Fred Glass acknowledged interaction between coaching staffs. IU coach Tom Crean and John Calipari's counterpart are friends, but Glass described such conversations as, quote, standard operating procedure, and at the administrative level, little has changed. Glass told the Star, I've not had any conversations with my counterpart at Kentucky. That's Kentucky AD Mitch Barnhart. Who did I just tell you the AD was there? Deputy Athletic Director Dwayne Peavy, sorry. Since the last efforts to resuscitate the series was unsuccessful, Glass said, there's nothing imminent, no plans, no breakthroughs, really nothing new. So I didn't read the report in the Indianapolis Business Journal, but that got phones being picked up and dialed all across the, at least the two-state region here, north and south of the river. Glass said there's little new to report about the Louisville series, which Cardinals coach Rick Pitino first outlined in February, but he said it's further along than any talks with Kentucky. Glass said, this is certainly a more active conversation than anything with Kentucky. So there you go. Kentucky gave a statement to the Herald Times. Mikey Miller had that. It said, hey, look, we've got everything scheduled up. We're ready to go. Here it is. Here's Dwayne Peavy's message to the Herald Times. Our schedule is near completion for the upcoming season, but Jade Grossman and I have continued to talk, as we have in the past, about playing in the future. At this point, there is nothing to report in regards to the Kentucky-Indiana series. And if you're not familiar, Jade Grossman is the director of basketball operations. He's Tom Crean's right-hand man. That's all you need to know. He's keeps it all clicking over there, and Jade's a really good guy, so that's good he's on out there and trying to make this happen. But as you've heard from the participants, it sounds great in theory, but it doesn't sound like anything is being put together or even close to being put together. Rick Pitino let the cat out of the bag a little bit earlier in the year, and as Fred Glass mentioned in the Star article, that seems to have a little bit and a lot more traction than this report does. So, Indiana basketball always finding a way into news. We saw in today's HT, Mike Miller had a story about the hope of Devin Davis returning down the road, and we'll see what that is. That would be the logical choice if you were just looking at this from afar saying, hey, you're oversigned by one. If Davis needs to take a medical or if he needs to go another direction that doesn't involve Big Ten basketball, which I don't know if anybody knows the answer to that question today. So that's the natural choice. The other natural choice would be somebody on the current roster. Obviously, finding greener pastures or reading the handwriting on the wall. I don't know how that all works. I don't know how that's detailed. But we'll, at some point, need to figure all of that out as Indiana is oversigned by one player with the addition of Thomas Bryant last week and Yogi Ferrell, James Blackman Jr., and Troy Williams sticking around. So that's where that is, and there's really nothing different on that. Dave is in the studio. We will get to the NFL draft, and the Colts will try to determine. Well, no, we're not going to try. We're going to guess because that's what you're doing. The draft is one of the most fluid situations going on. You never know who's going to give you an offer you can't refuse, who's on the big board, what positional needs the Colts will need, and we'll handle all of that next for you. If you think you got an idea on where the Colts should go, well, give us a call, 812-333-2665. It is 616. It is the In the Zone radio program. You can give us a call. You can listen live on the internet, and we're happy you're with us here as we wrap up our week with you. We're back after this.
All right, you're back in the zone. Dave and Glass with you here. Thank you for allowing me to show up a little late tonight. So appreciate that, and I apologize to everyone out there and to you. But we are back here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
And we thank J&S Locksmith for being with us. J&S, you'll find everything for the residential or commercial outdoor technician. J&S Locksmith, 508 West 17th Street here in Bloomington.
No Reds tonight, but got them the rest of this week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 7 o'clock each night. So tune in to hear your Reds baseball. 333-2665 is a phone number, as you mentioned just a little while ago. The Colts looking at the 29th pick in every round, really, for the draft. Round one is tomorrow night, so they're going to have to wait quite a while. Before they,
especially with an 8 o'clock tip off for ESPN, exactly. So they'll take you right into 11:30.
Be ready for midnight on this one.
That's how it happens. Well, the good news is there's a time between each pick, so it can't just go. Somebody can't take 38 minutes to figure it out. Right. I think they give them 15 minutes between picks, but if you do the math on that, yeah, it's going to run to about midnight or so. So that's not fun. But the Colts have plenty of not holes, Dave, but they do have plenty of needs, and they need to find some players to make their defense a little bit stouter, in my opinion. And the other angle would be the defensive backfield, the offensive backfield, and you got to keep number 12 protected as best as you can. That's where all your money's going, and that's where all your money's going to go the next, 15 years.
Yeah.
So it would be a good idea not to have any nagging injuries or the quarterback getting lit up on a daily, weekly basis.
No, I think the good news there, and it's not good news yet, but the good news there is they've invested quite a bit in the form of draft picks and free agency on that offensive line. What they need is for it to work. Does that mean they have to jump at something at number 29? Again, I think that's where they have the flexibility to go away from the offensive line and look further down the draft. Now, of course, not as talent evaluators directly here on this show, they are going to know a lot more about these guys than we are and like what they see or not like what they see when it shows up. But my opinion, there are some other spots that should be a little bit more of a need for this team heading into that 29th slot. And of course, I can't tell everybody what to do ahead of them, but two spots on the defense in particular stand out to me as spots I think they need to get a playmaker type of body. Can you get that at 29? I don't know. But at inside linebacker, I continue to be underimpressed by what we've got there. Jarrell Freeman has had a nice couple seasons here in Indianapolis, coming from the CFL, and DeQuell Jackson is the veteran. But again, last year, DeQuell and his veteran legs and feet got exposed a little bit against some teams. This is becoming more and more a passing league. So you need some guys that can be in coverage. I'd like to see more of a playmaker inside. And then safety. You know, the defense, you look at the best defense the last 10 or 20 years. They've got defensive tackles, so they've got middle linebackers, they've got safeties, and they've got somebody that's going to pressure the hell out of you from outside. We think we've got some bodies that can pressure you from outside. They picked up Trent Cole. Robert Mathis is coming back. We'll see what he can do there. Bjorn Warner and Eric Walden, at least you got two workable
Jonathan
guys
Newsom.
There.
That worked.
And getting to Jonathan Newsom. Here's a guy who's undersized a little bit but made a bunch of plays out there. He's not going to surprise anybody, but he's got the quickness.
Yep, and so, he sure does. And Mathis isn't exactly one of the biggest guys around. Neither was Dwight Freeney, and those guys have found a way to get through that. Jarrell Freeman has signed his restricted free agent tender offer. We talked about that, I think, Monday, about whether he was going to – he wasn't happy, but now he's – happy under contract, at least for now. It wasn't the long-term extension that he wanted, reports the Star, but he will be there, Dave, so that's something, at least one headache that's avoided in all of that. But when you talk about Mathis, you talk about Cole, you talk about Adams, those are guys in the wrong side of 30 right now,
yeah,
that are in your defense. And what the Patriots have taught the Colts over the last couple years is, if we get you, we're going to run the ball down your throat. So you better find somebody up front that you can plug into those gaps. Do you get them at 29? I don't know. I can't tell you that. It looks to be a deep draft in that sort of position, where you've got guys that are either rushers or you've got some guys in the defensive tackle realm that they're going to be available around that time. So it's just going to depend on Grigson's philosophy. Is it going to be package something up, move around, grab a guy they really like when they see the first 15, 16, 18 picks shake out? Or is it going to be, we have confidence in our scouting, we have confidence in our board, and when it comes to 29, we take the best player available. And then down the road, maybe you start looking into some guys that I don't know if you take chances on. They did take a chance on Newsom last year. They've taken chances on some other guys. Andrew Jackson was another guy that I was just reading about, and that had a checkered past. But again, are you looking to fill holes? Are you looking to get impact players? I'm not sure. And then what level? Grigson had a great quote. He goes, "We don't mind headaches. We don't want any migraines." There is a difference in that.
Well, and they've been able to take on a couple, or been willing to take on a few here in the recent past, and have dealt with them at least reasonably well, I suppose. Look, they've spent a lot of time going odd places to odd sources to try to find guys. I appreciate the fact that they're going to turn over, you know, every stone trying to find a guy, but I just assume they not be watching rugby in South Africa and see if you can get the defensive tackle and the offensive guard positions correct, because they've tried at those the last couple of years and really haven't had anybody that wows you at either of those spots. They have tried, so you can't say they're just ignoring them. That's not the truth. But Montori Hughes, Josh Love Chapman, him. Zach Kerr, I mean, there's some decent players in here, but you've got nobody out there that makes such a big difference that you go, yeah, wow. I mean, let's think about it. If you're going to play this kind of defense, you're going to need those big defensive linemen. Who immediately comes to mind in this league right now? It's a guy like Haloti Ngata. Now, obviously, you can't just hope at 29 that guy falls in your lap necessarily, but they haven't found something that, or a guy that makes that kind of difference in that defensive line. In that case, to me, I still think you got to look at the back end of this thing. I think at corner, they've got three guys they really, really like. Toler and Vontae Davis are still around. Darius Butler re-signed, so he's back with the team. That's a really good three guys. What you need is, to me, you need safeties that can handle some coverage, a guy that can handle a tight end, and a middle linebacker that can handle a tight end. Those are guys in this league, more and more you see it all the time. The tight ends are just killing people on the offensive side of the ball. You need guys that can handle those guys without being a complete and utter mismatch. Think of Julius Thomas in week one or two or whatever it was last year against Denver.
Linebackers.
I mean, just abused us. But look, there's a lot of spots I think that you can fill in. I think the offensive line, to me, if you find a guy you love, you obviously take him. But they have spent so much effort in free agency and the draft the last couple of years. I don't see them being really dramatically, going after that in this particular draft. Again, if they're looking for best talent, and the best talent ends up offensive lineman, and that's the way he goes,
that's what it sounds
so
like.
So be it. He's done a little wheeling and dealing over time, but not a lot.
The best player available mentality is, I think, the healthiest mentality you have, especially when you feel like for the most part, the roster looks pretty balanced, said Grigson. It's not just a big talent grab. You have to be pretty specific. And again, a lot of times you really hope and pray that somebody you thought would be at 15 through 20 falls to that spot at the bottom, because other areas I feel are pretty deep. We're hoping that we don't get stuck. Here's a here's another angle he gave you there. We really needed a corner in the third round in 2012 when they went back-to-back tight end. But that's that year, Dwayne Allen's up there on the board, yeah, right there, and your corner's down here. I've got to go with my best player. So he gets two tight ends, and now he's set at tight end for the next however many years. And so it works out. So, again, the end of the day, it sounds like best player available is going to trump the need because, again, you need good players, great players everywhere. And if you get a great whatever it is and you've got a few of those, if you get a great wide receiver, how's that going to hurt Ryan Andrew Luck?
Exactly.
If you get a great running back, how's that going to hurt? You might not need it. It per se, but if you get a, at least from your scouting, your grading, your everything else, if that guy falls to you, you got to take him because, Dave, if there are that good, those players make differences in the league, not in the depth chart, but in the stat sheet, and that's a huge, huge, that's the big need right there, because the Colts, they can outscore you.
Yeah,
they can make ordinary good defenses look ordinary, and it'll be tomorrow night, 8 o'clock on ESPN. I think the NFL Network even carries this. It's an absolute NFL circus. They wouldn't have it any other way because they've now stretched this out to Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
It's a whole week of fun.
There you go, Chicago, new site. So we'll see.
Yeah, all new. Well, at least we don't have to worry about all those Jets fans, right?
No, yeah, just sure. The Bears fans. Jeez.
That won't be
that's
that
all.
Yeah. Got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Williams Brothers Healthcare Pharmacy is a family-owned business offering personalized expert advice on a wide range of pharmacy services. 574 South Landmark Avenue, Williams Brothers, committed to creating customers for life. We thank them for being a part of the program this afternoon.
333-2665 is our phone number, so which direction the Colts go in the first round. And, of course, they got the whole draft. They only have extra picks in the sixth and seventh round. Those are compensatory picks. So later in those rounds than they already are, you know, I don't see a lot of way for them to move up in the first round unless you start talking about trading bodies. But certainly I could see trading down a little bit. I could see moving around in some of the other rounds once you get to the third round or something to that effect. Who knows, you know, what they're going to end up coming up with. They've done a little bit of that over the last couple years. They have, as you mentioned, taken chances on some kids with some questionable pasts. There are, you know, there's a few of those out there. I'm looking through these summaries of mock drafts, and one name got thrown out there was Doriel Green Beckham. Look, I mean, you want all the playmakers you can get, don't get me wrong, but this is a guy that had been in a little bit of trouble and never did play his final season because he had to sit out after transferring. But a heck of a talent, no question about that. Personally, for what this team needs and maybe what the value they're going to get, I'm still sticking with the safety. A couple mock drafts have listed Landon Collins out of Alabama. This is a guy that's a very good athlete and can cover. And again, in this league, you're going to have mismatches. That's where this comes down to. You watch Peyton Manning. What's he do? He puts four or five guys out in pass coverages and immediately finds a guy that he likes a matchup on. So you need guys that don't look like glaring, awful matchups when you walk to the line of scrimmage, because the quarterback is, you know, they're all smart enough to see that.
The only bad thing that I've read about the safeties in the draft, it's Landon Collins and everyone else. That's the only problem. He sticks out like the sore thumb, and everybody else is good, but no one else is in his class. So, again, are you stretching because you need positional need, or are you stretching because, well, we just got to have a safety? Well, is a first-round safety any different than a second-round safety? If it's not Landon Collins, then you just have to trust your draft board on that. You've got to trust the guys that have done the homework. You've got to trust the guys that have watched all the film on that. You and I can sit here till we're blue in the face and try to explain that. But there might not be that much difference. Just like that analogy from 2012, you had to go corner at that pick. You had to go corner at that pick. You had to go corner at that pick. And boom, there's Dwayne Allen. Whoa, how'd he get here? then you go and take him. This is so fluid. And in the movement that might not be created by the Colts at 29, they're going to see it in front of them. You're going to see, is Tennessee going to move? Is somebody going to move for Mariota? Is Cleveland going to swap? They got 100 first-round picks. Is that going to dance around? That's going to fall. The dominoes don't fall one way in the draft. And that's what people that maybe don't follow this enough don't get. Somebody puts out a mock draft, it could be done after two picks because the second pick gets traded. It's done. Because that series of events, plan B, C, D, E, and F, go into effect. That's why they call it their board, right? The draft board. Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of a misnomer. It's if it's a room like 12 by 18 or whatever it is, it has 50 draft boards. Oh, yeah. If these guys go, then we go to that plan. If that guy goes, then you go to that plan. So it's not as simple as that. And I think that's why the angle of best player available probably lends the most credence. Guy takes a player right in front of you that you think, well, you're going to have, you better have somebody loaded up and ready to go on that.
Yeah.
And then you have to trust your scouting. You have to trust your head coach. You have to trust the entire process behind it. This is not put together in 5 minutes. This is the day after the draft last year started the draft for this year.
Sure.
Because you start again, who's eligible? Who's coming back? Who's coming off injury? So this is a full-time job, and it's not somebody to just say, well, how'd you pick that guy? Well, how you pick that guy, there's probably a list of 50 things.
Well, you're watching him all year long, absolutely.
Well, and he fell to you, and then you got to weigh out, and you got to get lucky sometimes.
Well, I mentioned the safety position in particular. There are positions on this team, and I've mentioned a couple of them, where they have tried a lot of things to get it right and haven't necessarily gotten it right. At offensive line, I keep mentioning this one over and over because they've made a bunch of moves in this particular area, a bunch of draft picks and a bunch of free agents to bring people in. Those, in my opinion, it's not that you completely write off the offensive line in the draft, you don't, but those, in my opinion, need to start working out. Because if you've got to go into this draft and deal with positions that you haven't been looking real heavily at in free agency and in prior years, and safety is one of those, then you know now is the time you need to be able to address them. You signed Adams back, as you mentioned, at your safety position. You let Laron Landry go. You missed on that one, but got 2 years out of it, at the very least. But in this draft, you need to be able to fill in where those things have missed. And again, at least with the offensive tackle, offensive guard, they brought in Todd Harriman's. Again, there were three draft picks just in the last couple years. Interior-wise, it's still not solved on the interior. I mean, I think you've got your two tackles. Gosdar Cherilas had never been hurt, really. So the fact that he had to go out late in the season was a little bit unusual, and he didn't miss that much time. It just happened to be the end of the season. So you like your tackles, but your interior still has to get figured out. Look, a playmaking wide receiver would not be a horrible thing for Andrew Luck by any stretch. You've got a few guys on this team. You brought in Andre Johnson. You brought in Daron Carter from the CFL. You brought in the kid that was in San Diego most recently. So you've brought in some numbers there, but if you find somebody in the draft, most of those numbers are going to be short-term fixes anyways. I look at the back end of that defense. And really, you could say the whole defense, because as you mentioned, when New England came twice up against the Colts, what do? They just stuck it in some guy's belly. We didn't even know these guys' names. We didn't even know we went to school. We knew nothing about these guys. One of them, it was his first game of the year, if I remember correctly. He ran for 209 yards.
First and last.
Yeah, exactly. So that's how crazy that was as far as a weakness was concerned, is New England just walked in here and pushed you all over the map. So you've got to address these spots. Now, in the New England games, the safety didn't make that much of a difference. But that's where you can point to pretty much every spot, I think, on that defense and say there's some kind of need out there. And without making a bunch of choices in free agency, it's got to be through the draft.
There's three places they don't need anything: quarterback, punter, and kicker. That's it. Yeah. Everything else is open for discussion. They've had problems at center. They've had problems at guard.
Their first three cornerbacks are as good as you can get, in my opinion. But other than that, you're exactly right.
What happens in the NFL? How many guys play all 16 games and aren't the quarterback?
No,
everybody gets hurt. Everybody gets a knock, so you're going to have some depth. You're going to have a guy that, again, what's the shelf life of a corner in the NFL? About the same as a running back, about 4 years. There's not a lot of guys that stay out there for a long time. I mean, how many times has Revis been hurt? It happens. But you the days of the days of guys playing into their mid-30s, except Mike Adams, I mean, my goodness, did Ed Reed finally retire? That's the only other guy I can
think
about.
Yeah, well, Antoine Bethea played here forever. But
he played eight seasons here, and they let him go for the ninth one. And then you didn't hear anything about him again. So, again, there's not a – I think corner's a more – Safety's a more physical position. Corners are more. Boy, your hamstrings got to be good. Boy, your calves have to. It's one of those deals. Those guys get twisted and turned upside down. You're going to have guys. How many corners did they go through last year? They were at 7 at one point, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have to have that many guys, and that's the thing. Where's the depth going to help you? I don't think the depth helps you at tight end. I don't think the depth helps you perhaps at wide receiver. It'd be nice to have maybe one more, maybe.
Yeah,
you're good there. But defensive tackle Ricky Jean-Francois is gone.
Exactly.
Corey Redding is retired.
He is not there right now.
Mathis tore his ACL or his Achilles tendon.
Yeah,
that isn't the easiest injury to come back from.
No,
and especially at his age, I understand.
And let's not forget he was suspended too. Well, so there's a question of how his body really is going to react to all this.
That's kind of where I was going with that. Yeah. So there's angles there. Eric Walden's
been
decent.
Yeah, and Trent Cole, you brought him in. He's a specialist.
Mathis is 34.
He's 32, as you mentioned. So, I mean, you've got some age there. Again, I think the good news there is you've got a couple young bodies that
you got a good mix of veterans too. You're going to miss Redding in the clubhouse. You're never going to get that guy through the draft, I don't think. I don't think anybody you draft in is going to be, unless he's a quarterback that takes the ball under center every single time. You're not going to have that. That's hard to replace. Who is the leader of the Colts defense right now? There's the million-dollar question.
Yeah, it's got to be DeQuell Jackson, doesn't it?
Yep, I mean, it has to be. And the middle linebacker, the guy's going to call the defenses and make sure everybody's in the right spot. What you like about him, Dave, he's awfully, awfully durable. He's not missed a lot of time.
Right.
He has played a ton of years,
yeah,
but he has not missed many games. And that's what you need in that position, because we saw the days of Pat Angerer where he couldn't get healthy. We've seen the days of it was kind of like linebacker roulette there for a while. Freeman was in and out of the lineup all last year because he had injury problems. He claims to be healthy. Those things always help. But I think once the draft gets in motion, it's going to be what happens around the Colts is going to – and that's why the best player available, I think, you stick with. And, again, the only picks that's going to make you scratch your head if you're the Colts is
– quarterback?
No, because they're not going to do that. Would be, for me, wide receiver. That's the only one you're going to be like, well – I'm not sure about that.
I don't know why they would need a running back high in the draft this year.
No, because running backs.
Frank Gore, got promise out of Heron. Vic Ballard is coming back. We'll see.
Yeah, but there's three guys that are NFL tested you don't have to worry about.
The NFL has shown you don't need high draft picks. Would you take Melvin Gordon or Tevin Coleman?
Yes.
Sure.
They're in the third round.
But it's not your it doesn't have to be a first round pick.
The edge pass rusher, which is first pick Warner, traded for Walden, brought in Cole.
Yep.
Jonathan Newsom drafted last year. You better have
That's got to be enough, doesn't it? I mean,
you better have
it's got to work.
Really, really.
That's what I'm saying.
The guy on your board has to blow the doors off you to go to that spot. So
the only thing there, again, is we mentioned the age
of
two guys you're counting on.
If you want to bring a guy in to absorb, but that's not the guy in round two.
To me, you look at that roster of guys at that spot, that outside linebacker spot, you have got to already solve that position for this year. You don't put that group together without having your guys that you're going to use.
And where the Colts money is going in the future, the reason these veterans are being brought in, Andre Johnson, Frank Gore, Cole Harriman,
a couple years.
So it's not waste a first-round draft pick on a guy that's going to be Trent Cole's replacement in 2 or 3 years. So that's not a pick I'm looking at. I'm not looking at edge rush. Right. I'm not looking at wide receiver. I'm not looking at tight end. I think you're solid there. And anywhere else, and quarterback goes out the window. You don't have to argue with that.
Right.
The only guy you don't take in the first round, I don't think, is center. Because we've seen how many centers the Colts have brought in.
Well,
It doesn't seem unfortunately, seems like there's guys out there where you wouldn't need to stretch there for it.
Unfortunately, they have brought in some guys there. They've used a lot of bodies at that position because of injuries and other things. If there's a guy up there they like, it would not shock me once again. Because to me, of all the moves they've made, that one's the one that is still a huge question
mark.
Is guard and center. Your interior offensive line. I can give you three or four names that'll compete for it, but I'm not sure it's top line NFL quality right now. I want, and I've said this before, I know we've got Andrew Luck, but do you want to stick him in the Peyton Manning's offense where he's got to read, five routes on every single play, or do you want it where it's a little bit more what the Patriots tried and you can be physical up front, and then when you need Andrew Luck to do something, which is going to be often, and that's fine, he can certainly do it for you. Take some pressure off of him. Let's stop getting him hit so damn much. That would help a little bit too. But that interior, a lot of moves still haven't come up with what I consider to be the solutions
yet. They played three centers last year. Whether you like it or not, that's what happened. Khalid Holmes, AQ Hugh Shipley and Jonathan...
Harrison.
So that's it. Did I miss anybody?
Well, I'm trying to think.
Have I left anybody out?
Did Thornton, I guess, was just
Muhort
a guard.
Muhort played over there for a minute, didn't
Muhort
he?
Muhort might have been at center for a little while.
A couple quarters, not a couple games.
And again, we're
quarters.
Talking with these guys. Muhort was a second-round draft pick.
Yep, and he's shown his worth. When he's healthy, he's been really
Holmes
solid.
Was second or third. Thornton was third or fourth, so a bunch of bodies in there. Got to take another quick break. 333-2665 is a phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Quick update from Bart Kauffman Field. After 43 minutes of inning number one, Indiana turned around a 3-0 deficit and leads 4-3 over the Sycamores. So if you think, well, geez, I couldn't get there for first pitch at 6:05, you've missed an inning. It's a gorgeous night out. And that game might not be over at 2 o'clock in the morning if it keeps up on a pace like that. We hope not. We hope the Hoosiers get back to their winning ways.
They have lights, right?
They do.
Okay, that's
they
good.
They do.
333-2665 is a phone number. So putting a wrap on our summary of what we think the Colts need. And Glass, I think you put it perfectly. I mean, there's four spots, but three that would even logically have anybody select in the first round. Three spots that should not be have to be addressed at that spot, and that is wide receiver, tight end. To me, corner, I think you've got that. And, of course, quarterback, you don't need a quarterback. Would a running back be there? Again, I don't think you see it. There's not a lot of running backs with top grades anyways. I'd love to have Tevin Coleman in the second round. I think that would be a phenomenal spot for somebody like Tevin Coleman with the Colts. But will he last that long? I don't know that. At number one, though, again, everything up the middle of the defense is glaring to me. Nose tackle, defensive end, any of those spots, you just don't get the kind of push and wall at the middle of that defense, and that's what it really requires.
The other thing you have to ask yourself is, are any NFL teams truly great on offense and defense? I don't think the answer to that is yes. Either, I think you put your pieces around your best player. New England does it with Tom Brady. The Broncos have been pretty successful, and the Colts were loading up on offense. I mean, look how many games Von Miller missed last year for Denver. Well, but the point was Julius Thomas, Demaryius Thomas.
It's hard to be balanced in the salary cap.
You
want to
be good. You can't be great at both.
The teams that are the most balanced in a given season are the ones that win it all. I mean, let's be fair.
And the ones that missed the injury bug.
Last year, the Patriots were by far the most balanced team. The problem for the Seattle Seahawks became they didn't get some plays made out of their wide receiver spots, and so their passing game was lacking when it needed to get something through. Its defense was great. Run game was great.
Didn't they trade Percy Harvin at some point?
He was, but
a guy can make a play, and you didn't want that guy. But Seattle's defense was so dominating, and then if Marshawn Lynch slowed down, they really struggled to get it. Let's be fair. The way they won that playoff game to get to where they got to was the most ridiculous insanity that's ever gone on. That wasn't a sign of a great team doing great things. Right. That was a great comeback.
Well, yeah. What, did he throw that ball 60 feet in the air on the two-point conversion?
The other way, not even looking
putting
that
it to the corner of the end zone with not knowing what was there.
No, he had it was complete luck. Let's call it what it was, but good teams make their own luck sometimes. But that's on their home field. Needed a complete and utter miracle to win that game and come back in that game. So, again,
it's going to be hard in this draft. I mentioned the positions. It's going to be hard in this draft, extremely hard in any draft, to find a nose tackle, a middle linebacker, and a safety that are all pro caliber.
So
you've got to find what you want out of those. Again, to me, you've got to have a safety that can stick in coverage and can come up and make some plays in the run game. I would just as easily go with an inside linebacker if you find a guy you like there, because that's been a bit of a roller coaster. DeQuell Jackson looks solid in there, but I'm not sure we've got the answer otherwise there. Nate Irving's coming in from Denver. There's another body there. Jarrell Freeman, again, player.
The bodies haven't been the issue. It's been It's been, can you rely on DeQuell Jackson to lead your team in tackles another year, which will be, I think it's year 10, let's be fair.
It is his 10th year.
I think it's his 10th year. Yeah. And a lot of guys don't get faster at that age.
No. Well, we saw.
They don't get stronger at that age. They get smarter. They read the game better. Absolutely right. But again, you saw the Colts get dump trucked by the Patriots, not for 180 yards.
No.
Not for 206 yards. There was 250 and more, right. and more. That can't be the way, because the other thing what the running attack does, it eats the clock up and provides less possessions for Andrew Luck and the offense. The defense has to get off the field. And, I think with the offense they have right now, it is, Akeem Nicks or Andre Johnson. Oh, that's pretty easy to figure out. Reggie Wayne or Dante Moncrief. I'm sorry, Reggie. You're 38.
I'd rather have a productive Reggie, but he's not productive anymore.
He's not. So you got to go with Moncrief, right. And then T.Y. Hilton's T.Y. Hilton. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
And the fourth and fifth receiver, I don't care.
Vincent Brown played again in San Diego. Daron Carter. I mean, you've got people you can throw in there.
You bring Griff Whalen back for a cup of coffee who knows the offense. Those are guys you don't worry about. You're not drafting for the fourth wide receiver.
Right.
You want guys that impact Andrew Luck, the veterans they've brought in to do this in the next couple of years, or if you want to take the other route of Manning and Brady got to retire at some point,
right?
You start doing that, and they start playing one more year and one more year. Well, that doesn't seem to be the way to do it. So I don't think Grigson's going to go that way. I think, again, best player available and a guy who can make an impact, not a roster filler.
Well, here's the thing. For the next year or two, and you brought in some veterans, as you mentioned, once again, all looking towards this future time when you got to pay off Andrew Luck big
Hilton.
Time. But the moves they've made in this offseason and the season before, for Ryan Grigson, what's going to make the biggest difference right off the bat, because we don't know what the defense is going to be. The biggest guys are going to be Todd Harriman's, it's going to be Hugh Thornton, and it's going to be Jack Muhort. These are guys that they brought in for one reason or another.
Donald Thomas.
To think they're going to stick in the middle there. Yeah, Donald Thomas, I'll be surprised if he's on this roster. Would he get hurt twice already?
Yeah.
Look, I'd love to have him. I mean, that's another free agent they brought in. But at this moment, you'd think it's a young Hugh Thornton, it's a young Khaled Holmes, it's a young Jack Muhort, and it's a Todd Harriman's, who is just an absolute beater on the inside. These are guys that absolutely have to make a difference for this team. Because you bring in Frank Gore saying to everybody on that offense, we're not going to have an athletic guy in the backfield that's going to run circles around people. We're going to run straight the heck at you and try to run it down your throat.
And we can catch the ball.
But you're not going to do that with Jonathan Harrison whiffing blocks all day long at center.
Nope. That's why they played four of them last year, trying to make something work. But the interesting thing about the defense, we talk about all that money it's going to come due in the next couple of years. We don't mention one guy on defense that's going to get paid.
Nope.
That tells you what you need to know.
I'll throw out Landon Collins as my first round.
A big Florida State defensive tackle has been kicked around as well. So we'll see on, early
tomorrow?
Friday morning.
Yes, I think that's a little bit more appropriate.
That's probably it.
We got to take off, folks. We'll be back Monday, so tune in then. Reds baseball Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 7 o'clock. So tune in for all that, and we will talk to you Monday. You've been in the zone.